John chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 24 down through verse 29. Jesus, in these scripture verses, just continue teaching one precept upon another, a little bit upon a little bit, and for us to slowly understand some of the wonderful promises of God's Word. So, John chapter 5, we begin reading with verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear his voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let's end the reading with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and read these beautiful verses, beautiful words that you have had recorded for us. We know that it's not just man's writings, but it's your writing, dear Lord. You have recorded every word that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. You have taken the man that was doing the writing and just literally led the pen with the Holy Spirit as he was recording this, as man was writing your precious word. And so we know that it's inspired, it's the truth, it's living word. And for us that are born again, it is wonderful to come and to hear the word and let it touch our hearts and grow us. Dear Father, for those that are not saved, it is your precious word that has the power and strength to save. And so today we come and we're going to proclaim your word once again, and that those that are lost will be saved and those that are saved will grow and be closer to you. Now please speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Again, Jesus just keeps teaching. And when there is something of great importance, and great importance, you'll find that he will use this verily, verily. He doubles that up, so we pay attention. And so we have it twice in this, in two verses, in verse 24 and 25, both. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and so Jesus is bringing this out that we don't miss this point. And to you it may seem like a very simple point if you're born again and you're saved and you say, you know, I've heard this many times. But we need to know that he that heareth my words, and Jesus is not talking about just our physical ability to hear. And the doctors go through and look at me from top to bottom, and they looked into my ears, and they says, boy, I don't know what you're cleaning them with, but they're clean. You can see all the way through. And I said, all the way through? That can't be good. And he said, no, that's all right. So sometimes if all the wax is gone and you have good hearing, it's still not good enough. Because when it comes to the Word of God, we must hear with the heart, not with just our ears. It's got to come in. It's got to go all the way down and get to our heart. And that's what happens so often with folks. They hear it with their physical ears, but they do not hear it with their heart. And to hear with your heart means to believe in your heart. Hearing by faith is what the Word of God calls that. He who hears the Word of Christ and hears and accepts what the Lord is saying has eternal life. What a wonderful promise we have in the Word of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, that's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The grace of God, God's grace saves. And saving grace comes by faith. Faith believing. We must believe in the Word of God. And if we can build upon the foundation of this simple principle that salvation comes by faith, we'll be able to look down through the Word of God, and we come to some areas here. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, shall come forth. Can we believe those words? Yes, we can believe those words because we know that the Word of God is true when it comes to our salvation. And if God can take our sins away and give us the free gift of salvation, and we know that in our hearts, we know that every word that we find in this book is true. We need to study it. We need to learn it. We need to bring it into our lives and just enjoy the Word of God, whether it's talking about the end times or talking about today. But as we look at these verses of Scripture, and that's the reason the Lord Jesus Himself said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Know that. Stand on that. Be the joy in your heart no matter what's going on through the day. I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what sickness comes. I don't care what trial or tribulation comes in your life. You can hold on to that precious joy that knowing Jesus saves you and Jesus keeps you. And there's nothing more exciting than that. But once we know that and stand upon that, then to look at the words that God has recorded in His book for us to understand concerning not only today but tomorrow. And that should excite our heart because we know we can trust God. We know we can believe God. And that, of course, comes by faith. Saving grace, again, comes through faith. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 8:17. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you hear those words? Do you believe those words? It's not a matter of something so special that you have to do. All you have to do is believe it. And if you believe it in your heart, it is yours. So you possess it, you own it, and it's yours to give. We are to be giving these wonderful words out to others. True believing is not possible. It is impossible to natural man. The natural man in his own mind, in his own strength, no matter how educated and how smart he has become, cannot attain salvation. He has no ability within himself to save himself. He cannot take one sin away. He cannot remove one mistake, one sin that he has made. He can't take care of one single one, let alone the thousands upon thousands that we have committed. But our God has taken care of that. And we need to know that it's only through Him. And no matter how hard man tries, whether it's through work, through this work or through that work, through this religion or through that religion, you can't be saved. It's only by the grace of God, and it's His work that comes into your heart and into your life that changes you. Once again, he that heareth hath everlasting life. When do we get life? Many places and churches kind of teach it that it's something that's gained after this life. That's not true. It is gained now. It doesn't say later will you get when you die you'll have eternal life. Life begins, everlasting life begins the very second that you trust in Jesus. Hath life, the Scripture says. Don't miss that little word. Now, this very moment that you trust in Jesus, you have salvation. You have eternal life. It's not something that God says, okay, now you've said the words. It seems as though that you've believed it in your heart. Now, God says, I'm going to watch you. And I'm going to watch you for the next 2 weeks. Now I'm going to watch you for the next 2 months. And I want to see that you don't make one mistake. You don't blaspheme my name. You don't worship something, someone other than me. And you come and you do everything that's commanded us. And then we'll talk about this eternal life. You know, that's what we do. You know, when you take a new job, the first few months you're on probation. They have to see if you're going to work out. Well, isn't it wonderful that our God knows us? He knows what He's getting when He saved me. He knew He wasn't getting much. He wasn't getting anything of any value the day that He saved me. But He also gave me all the power and strength to be who I should be for Him through this life and on into the next. And that's what He gives us. And He doesn't put us on probation. He doesn't test to see if we meant what we said. Because, my friend, it's between your heart and the heart of God. And if you ask Jesus into your heart, and it comes from your heart by the Holy Spirit working, doing that work, then the opportunity of salvation comes. In one split second, the day that you call upon the Lord Jesus, you're justified, you're forgiven, you're pardoned, and you're an heir to your home in heaven. Just that fast. What a God that we have, and what a God that we serve. Romans 8:17 again tells us that we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. The hearer believes in the heart. Again, doesn't hope that he's going to be saved when he dies. And isn't it so sad that that is the most common doctrine of man here upon earth? That you trust Jesus, you ask Him into your heart, you come and get baptized and you join the church, and then you just hope that the day you die, you walk into heaven. That's what the world teaches. That's what the churches in the world teaches. But that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God says, call upon Him, He will save you, and He will keep you. So we possess eternal life. And also, not only do we possess eternal life, according to verse 24, but it shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come into condemnation. The Greek is does not come into condemnation. It says shall not. Well, it does not. It's impossible for us to fall back into condemnation when it comes to our God, because He saved us and He took all of our sins away. Do we believe the Word of God? The wrath of God does not come, does not abide on a believer. The reason is all of our guilt, all of our sin has been taken away. Do you know these simple principles that God's Word teaches? Because when we begin to stand upon these simple principles, the first principles, the principles of salvation, then we begin to look at God's Word and we can look once again to what's coming and know that His Word is true and His Word is right. So we can say, according to this verse of Scripture, we have passed from death into life. And look at that little word. If you have looked at my Bible in the past, you'll see it all circled and all underlined. And in that verse of Scripture, I have verily, verily circled. I have the word heareth, he that heareth my word. And then I have underlined, and believeth on him that sent me. And then again circled the word hath, and underlined everlasting life. Then I come back and I have circled once again, shall not come into condemnation. I have circled that because that's a promise from God. Shall not. But is passed from death into life. Not is going to be, but is passed. I've got that little two-letter word circled. Is. Is passed from death into life. And that's what happens to a believer the second. We have become a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he shall be a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's 2 Corinthians 5, 17. One more point with this believing. Because many folks maybe that you know, go to church. They say they believe in God. They believe that there is one God. Well, if you'll go to James chapter 2, verse 19 this afternoon, you're going to find James 2, 19. It tells us that the devil himself and his demons also believe and tremble. They believe there is one God. And they tremble. But I promise you, according to the word of God, that there'll be not one demon, and the devil himself is certainly not going to be in heaven. He does not possess salvation. Tens of thousands of church members have this intellectual knowledge. They know all about the word of God, but they have done it with their mind. They've listened only with their natural ears. They have not listened with their heart that is required by the word of God. And the only way you can listen from your heart is to hear the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to touch their heart and life. And please, as you talk to folks about Jesus, our purpose, our job, our responsibility is to share the sweet news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's the work of God to touch their heart and to save them. So don't be offended, don't be affected. If they reject it or if they don't want to hear it, our purpose is to tell it. And please do so. Please tell them, because so many have this knowledge, this understanding that natural man has, but they have not asked Jesus to come into their heart. Either the Holy Spirit has never called them and they're just very religious, or the Holy Spirit has called and they have rejected the Holy Spirit. And so, please, that we give out the Word of God. But we need to understand that if you just ask somebody, do you believe there is one God? And they'll say yes. Well, your answer to them should always be, well, so does the devil. He believes and trembles. You're not even trembling. You need to come by faith to Jesus. Ask Him into your heart to save you. And see what the response is then. We move from there to the second, verily, verily, in verse 25. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We're moving from the day into some prophecy, some things that's going to come in the future. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. When the dead. Who are the dead? The dead are all those that have never accepted Jesus as their Savior. And Jesus right here and right now is coming. The only way to live is to hear the word of God. If you have never heard and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And so here in this verse of Scripture, the hour is come and now is. Hear the voice of God. Hear with the heart. Hear in faith, believing. Today, you may be here, and you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're dead. But today a miracle can take place. You can be raised from dead to the living if you'll just call upon Jesus today. It's just that simple. By hearing these wonderful, wonderful words. The hour is coming and now is. You know, Jesus is here upon earth. And He is bringing in, ushering in the church. And it's not going to be long that the day of Pentecost will come along and the Holy Spirit will come down upon this earth. And so we'll have a powerful calling of all to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only through the words of the Lord Jesus as He is speaking here, But then he says when he's about to leave, I'm going to send a comforter, and that comforter will come, and that comforter will draw you to me. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Convict the heart, save the soul, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. What a wonderful promise. And again, we know the Word of God is true. So realize and recognize that the hour is coming and now is. And so not only is there something coming in the future of the day of Pentecost, and that hour has lasted over 2,000 years now. That's a long hour, isn't it? That's a long hour. Been almost 2,000 years. But that hour will come to an end. And as we look at this end time, we're going to go, and I want you to go there with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Got the five T's. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then Titus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. This end time, this time that's going to bring this hour, the hour is coming and now is, started with the Lord Jesus and is continued to this very day. But here will be the result, the end. Chapter 4, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. In other words, unknowledgeable. You need to know what's going on concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In other words, those that are lost, when they go to the grave and they bury someone, they leave that grave, their heart's broken, they're sad, they're going to miss those folks, and you know, their mind is wondering what's beyond the grave. Are they just in the grave, and does the old dirt and earth and worms and everything just come and consume that old body, and is that it? That scares them to death. That scares them to think that that's all there is. And when they leave that, they have no hope. But you see, my friend, we have hope. Because we know that when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. And we know that when we give the gospel out, and someone with their heart calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they are as saved as we are saved. We are saved because the Word of God is true, and we know it's true. And so immediately from that time on, from the end, from the time of that point till the end of that person's life, and then to the grave and on, we need not be concerned. We need not to sorrow as others sorrow, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them that also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. When we read those verses of Scripture, understand that those that we know, that love Jesus, that knew Jesus, that went into the grave, that's in that casket and in that concrete vault, and they come and you throw the dirt on the top of it and we walk away from the grave, and the only remains of that body is stated on the tombstone, the day they were born, the day they die, and what their names were. That's what's left of them. That's what's left. But if that person died in Jesus, their soul will return with the Lord when he comes, and their body will be brought out of that grave, physically, literally, out of that grave, and be reunited. And they'll have their glorified body as the body of Jesus when he came out of the grave. He had his glorified body. And you and I, if he would do this soon and everything is in place, if he would do this soon. You and I that know Jesus, then first those graves will be opened. And what a day to be in the graveyard. What a day to be at the grave of your mother or your father or your sister or someone that's went on to be with the Lord, and to be standing there and all of a sudden that grave opening up, and before you can blink an eye, you've joined them. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Just as sure as your salvation, this is going to happen. It's going to happen exactly the way he says it. Just exactly. What a day. And there has never been a day, never been a day, that everything is in place. Today, everything is in place for this to happen. That's according to the Word of God. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day. Let's return now to John chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They that hear shall live eternally, forever. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus is the author of eternal life. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son of God. In his Son. Jesus is our Creator. Jesus is our Savior. And Jesus also will be the Judge. He will be the Judge. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. If we would look at that verse of Scripture very quickly, and then we'll bring it to a close and end it in a couple of weeks. Next week we'll be going through the Christmas message. The next will be the program, so it'll be a couple of weeks before we get back here. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. God the Father is the judge of all. But we find back here in John chapter 5, verse 27, that God the Father gives the process. The Son of God will execute the judgment. He's going to carry it out. I can't imagine a better one to carry out judgment than the one that is offering us life. And if we refuse him, I can't think of a better one that can carry out the judgment and the condemnation to those that say no to Jesus. He offers it as a free gift, and that free gift has come. Please trust in Jesus today. That free gift. The hour has come and now is. There's not a better time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Today is the day to tell all the world of the saving power of Jesus. That when you and I have to go to the grave for someone we love, to be able to stand at that grave and our heart not be broken, because we know in a very, very short time we are going to see them again. We'll be with them. knowing that all the pain and all the suffering that they went through here upon earth, all the aches and pains are gone. Never will they have to take one more pill or take one more shot. Never will they need to be helped to get up or to sit back down. Nor longer will they be confined to just the bed because they can't move from there. They have went from that life, the cost of sin. And that doesn't mean that they did something awful that caused that. It's just that the old flesh deteriorates because of sin. It just does. A curse. We deteriorate. But isn't it wonderful that God gave us a method, gave us a way to get out of this body and on to the next one, another body that never will deteriorate, that will be perfect. Do we know the Word of God? Do we trust the Word of God? Can we go to the grave of someone that's asked Jesus into their heart and be excited upon their death? Sure, we'll miss them. But what a glorious day. What a glorious day. I've met folks that have been raised in a good church. All their families, their dad and their mother and their sister and their brother, and then their aunts and their uncles and their grandchildren, and on. And then you go the other way, go down to grandpa and grandma and great-grandpa and grandma, and they can go back for generations that were saved. With my family, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because what I've read in the Bibles that I have of both of my grandparents, there's not much evidence that they were born again. They believed, as the devil did, that there's one God. Now, I hope when I get to heaven that I'm going to be surprised because somewhere in their life they asked Jesus into their heart. But you know, I know if they're not there, they had a choice. They had a decision. And they made the wrong one. But my friend, we need to change that. If your family's the same, if you can't go backwards to your parents and grandparents, let's go forwards. That our children and our grandchildren, and let them, their lives be changed. That we be the turning point. We be the one that made the difference. And all of a sudden now, generations from now, if the Lord tarries, that they look back and say, I remember when great-grandpa said this. I remember when great-grandmother said this. Sat me down and told me about Jesus. I remember that day. What an honor. There's nothing that you can possess in this world that's as great as that crown, to have won your children, your grandchildren, your parents to the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, let's get to work. We've got verses of Scripture in Revelation chapter 6, chapter 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that speak of the judgment of the lost and then the judgment of the saved. But as God's word is true, and because next week it'll be a message concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's word, when he says something, it is, even if it's going to take place 2,000 or 5,000 years later, it's as real as if it's already happened. And I want to show you an example, and that is in Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, yet it was 750 years before Jesus was born. But unto us a child is born. In God's heart, in God's mind, it is finished. That's how much we can trust the Word of God. Whatever he says, we know it. When it speaks of the end times, when it speaks of salvation, we need to trust in it and stand upon it and know with no doubt in our mind that Jesus saves and Jesus is true and Jesus is real. and Jesus will keep us through eternity. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and preach a message that maybe everyone here has heard, all the verses of Scripture that we've read, any comments that we've made, but there is nothing in the heart of a believer that should not excite us more than to talk about the salvation that's given to us and how it's taken place and how we can trust your word and how we can stand upon your word. So please, dear Lord, continue to guide and to lead us and to strengthen us. I ask today that it be the day that those that are dead in their trespasses of sin, dead, that they be risen from the dead today and they come to life today. Please, dear Lord, touch the hearts of the lost today, that they will trust in you and call upon you, and then come and publicly say, I have trusted in Jesus. And then follow in baptism and follow in service. Father, maybe we've been saved for a long time, but we've really never been serving. I just ask, dear Lord, that you will just lead each one of us to where we need to be, that we can be bringing honor and glory unto you. Now speak to all of our hearts, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.